Law. We're going to begin our Judicial Council business meeting. This is the business meeting of the Judicial Council of California for October 27, 2014. The meeting is now in session. This is the start of a two-day meeting. We will adjourn this afternoon at approximately 4 in the afternoon and reconvene tomorrow at 8:30 a.m. for the second part of our business meeting. This is a public meeting, and I remind council members, as I always do, that we audiocast live with real-time captioning on the California Courts website, and portions of our meeting may also be videotaped for later use on our public website. For the benefit of the online audience, please speak into your microphones and address each other by name so that listeners and real-time captioning readers can follow our discussions. Before we begin with our regular agenda, I should mention that our audiocast listeners will be hearing a new voice today, and that the Judicial Council has a new, dedicated, talented, and experienced individual joining our ranks as our Administrative Director and Secretary to the Council. All of you have met him. We welcome Martin Hoshino. As you know, after a nationwide search and many interviews, we did find the best candidate right here in California. Before we begin with the swearing in of our new Judicial Council members, our reappointed member, and our new Administrative Director, I'd like to take a few moments to talk about the role of the Judicial Council and about the importance and value of this smooth transition in the leadership of the judicial branch of government. Those of you who regularly follow our council meetings know that I often quote from the California Voters Pamphlet from 1926. That year led to a constitutional amendment that created the Judicial Council. But not today. I won't be quoting from the pamphlet, other than to highlight that the same voters pamphlet that we are charged with the duty of seeing that justice is being properly administered in California. What I want to say today is in relation to the council. I'm quoting from the governor's May revision of the current budget. In that, he said, "The administration is confident the Chief Justice and Judicial Council will continue to manage the resources of the judiciary in a manner that promotes efficiency, effectiveness, and access to justice," end quote. The governor's budget statement is certainly in keeping with my Access 3D vision, that is physical access, remote access, and equal access. It's also in keeping with the work that will soon be led by Justice Corrigan of the California Supreme Court and Justice Bill McGinnis of the Court of Appeal First Appellate District for the Commission on the Future of California's Court System. In a letter to the council from July of this year from our own council member, Assemblymember Bloom, he stated, "I believe this year's budget process was notable in exhibiting modest but meaningful improvements in the relationship between the executive, legislative, and judicial branches." During that same council meeting, Senator Evans, also our council member who's here today, commented, quote, "This year in the Capitol, I, Senator Evans, saw a sea change in the attitude towards the judicial branch. A lot of goodwill built up, a lot of new education and understanding happened, and we need to keep that moving forward," end quote. And every action of the council is designed to move our branch forward. Our members are about to take the same oath that members of the other branches take. We all swear and affirm to support and defend the same Constitution that created all three co-equal branches of government. And that's why it's meaningful to have representatives on council from our sister branch, the legislature, to share their practical insights and perspectives as we move about our business. It's also meaningful that we have four representatives from the State Bar of California, because as a former council member and attorney, David Pasternak, noted in an article on the council, that the council has had a far more profound and direct effect on the daily work of California litigators and judges. Justices, judges, and commissioners are critical to the success of the Judicial Council and all of its many internal and advisory committees, working groups, and task forces. The judiciary from the appellate and the superior courts are represented on council, as well as the Supreme Court and our court administrators. From the superior courts, the presiding judges and court executive officers are represented here, the chair of each of those advisory committees to the council, and the Professional Association of Judges, the largest association of judges, not only in California, but in the country, but in the world, is also represented here by its president, who will soon take the oath. And as circumstances dictate, we have expanded representation on the council, as we did when we added members from my Strategic Evaluation Committee, referred to as the SEC, to support the creation and implementation of our Judicial Council directives. Approximately 500 judges, court administrators, attorneys have served on the Judicial Council since its creation in 1927. In recent times, a further 400 dedicated public servants volunteer every year to serve on our various advisory bodies. As you know, we do not represent any constituency, but we share our knowledge, skills, and expertise to enrich the Council's fact-finding and decision-making process on a volunteer basis. The Judicial Council of California is about policy, governance of the branch, the statewide administration of justice, and equal access to justice for all Californians. And here's what it's not. The Council is not about managing day-to-day local court operations at either the Superior Court or Appellate Court or the Supreme Court. The Judicial Council is not a tribunal and cannot intervene on behalf of a party in a pending case or offer legal advice. Roscoe Pound, the historic dean of Harvard, said, quote, court management is no sport for the short-winded, end quote. My predecessor, Chief Justice George, has described the job of a chief justice, because he's a runner, as a, quote, marathon without a finish line, end quote. Today, I believe the jobs of chief justice and court management are more like team triathlons, requiring multiple skills, the support of many, patience, perseverance, and a lot of sweat. When it comes to advancing the goals of our impartial judiciary and equal access to justice, you can be assured, like many of you, that I'll be on the treadmill tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. building stamina to continue to do this job. I thank you all for your service to the cause of justice. In a few moments, I will ask all 10 council members beginning new terms of office, our one reappointed council member, and our new administrative director to join me at the head of the boardroom for their ceremonial swearing in. I call Judge Marla Anderson, Judge Brian Back, Ms. Donna Melby, Ms. Deborah Pohl, Judge Martin Tangeman, Judge Daniel Buckley, Mr. Richard Feldstein, Judge David Gunn, Presiding Judge Marcia Slough, Judge Joan Weber, President of the CJA, and our Harry Hull and Martin Hoshino, so I can administer the oath of office. Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I
do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support and defend, the Constitution of the United States, and the Constitution of the State of California, against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance, to the Constitution of the United States, and the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely,
without any mental reservation,
or purpose of evasion,
and that I will well and faithfully discharge, the duties upon which I'm about to enter. Congratulations, thank you for your work. One final indulgence, Justice Miller. This swearing-in ceremony represents the regular cycle of Judicial Council membership, with our colleagues serving 3-year and 1-year terms, some being reappointed, but all sharing their unique experience and background for the judicial branch. Outside of our normal appointment cycle, Senator Noreen Evans recently announced that she will not seek re-election. She plans to return, I say rather, to continue with her private law practice. And so she will have to deal with the rules and forms she helped create on a daily basis. I take this opportunity to thank Senator Evans for her service on the council since 2011, all your work on behalf of public access as a senator and assembly member. I know that your experience as a litigator helped and inform your work as a legislator, It's been invaluable to us and to conveying the message over the years, and also especially in the Capitol as we sought to make our way through the budget cuts and through legislation affecting the branch. I've appreciated your enthusiasm, the late night meetings, the advice, walking in the halls, not only for the benefit of your constituents in the 2nd and 7th districts, but really with your service here for all California. And so it's our practice to present departing members with a copy of the Federalist Papers. Not that you'll have time to read it at this point, but we do have it here for you, and I wanted to refer you to Federalist number 22, which is one of my favorite quotes that says, "Laws are a dead letter without courts to expound and define their true meaning and operation." This is from Alexander Hamilton. Thank you for your many years of service and to the cause of justice.